Welcome to Streams of Income with self-help author Ryan Rieger. For the next hour, you'll hear proven methods for how to live the multiple income streams dream. Ryan is passionate about helping others discover their gifts and start their own business. He's published 5 books, and his courses and group coaching programs have changed the lives of thousands of students all over the world. Ryan's books include Private Label, The Easy Way, Finding Your Grace Place, and his latest, Streams of Income. And now, here's your host, Ryan Rieger.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Streams of Income radio show. I'm your host, Ryan Rieger, and in today's episode, I'm chatting with my friend, Nick Gomez. So have you ever wanted to have a business where there's no inventory, you can make money while you sleep? Well, this episode is for you because my friend Nick sells printables or digital downloads. You're going to love this episode. It will blow your mind with the potential opportunities that are out there to sell things that people print or PDF files. It's just amazing. I'm excited about this. I want to find a VA to do this for me because there's just so much potential out there with this method. You will love my episode here with Nick. Here it is. Well, Nick, welcome to Streams of Income Radio, my friend. Thanks for being on with me.
Oh, thank you, Ryan. I really appreciate it. Man, I've been a longtime listener, so this is an honor to, cool. to be on your podcast.
I love it. Well, that's awesome. It's an honor to have you. And I know the audience is going to love what we're going to be talking about today with printables. I think it's going to literally blow their minds. But first, I love, since you've been listening to the podcast, you know that I like to hear people's stories. So let's start with you, kind of your story, how you got started selling online and just your business journey.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go back to a very, it can be an emotional moment story.
That's okay. I understand. I get emotional on my podcast. I have no problem talking when I start talking about things that are, I get it. No big deal.
So I was working at a local factory up until 2002.
Okay.
And there was a lady there, that girl that I was very much fond of how she looked, how she acted. She was an office worker and I was a grunt. Actually, I was an industrial painter. So she'd walk by and I'm like, man, I gotta find a lady like that. She's just so distinguished. Well, 2002, long story short, in spring of 2002, I quit working there and I went to work in cable TV construction. So I was the guy that climbed poles and strung cable TV and fiber and all that stuff. So, and I had done some hustle work with another friend of mine. He's actually been my biggest mentor. He passed away a few years ago. And he's, you know, like, I'm trying to think, maybe 25 years older. He passed away. He's 65 and I'm 40. At that time, I was 42. So anyways, I left there to go work in cable construction, but in October I was going to get married. And I knew that living on the road, being shipped out to South Dakota for a couple weeks, you know, I needed to come back home. So I had, taken and, applied to go back to the same factory that I left and that my girlfriend at that time, then to be my wife in October. And I never made it to my first day of working there the second time. 5 days after I was married, I rolled my truck and about made her a widow. So in that process, I learned, you know, all the medical stuff, learning to walk and be in a wheelchair. So on and so forth, I picked up how to make fishing lures. And so I built a business. At that time, it was caughtonlures.com. And I started selling, I sold on eBay before, kind of half, you know, haphazard, like here and there, not really taking it seriously. But in winter of 2002, I had to find something to do, right? I was sitting in a wheelchair, you know, my, was a social worker was like, hey, you really should do some word search. And I'm like, you know, I do every day. I search eBay. So, like I said, I was making these fishing lures from a kit that I had been gifted, and really got into selling it as like on a hobby business level. And it got to the point where, I felt like other people were coming in and learning and doing the same thing. And the components to make the fishing lures, and I'm going to reference it so the audience has an understanding of what I'm talking about. It's like the MEPS spinners or the Panther Martin type spinners. Uh-huh. So I was buying all these components, and they were just super, at that time, like super ridiculously cheap. Like mm-hmm. you could find them in Cabela's Bargain Barn and
yeah,
so forth. So, but I had to find something to differentiate myself. So I picked up learning to make treble hooks and with the squirrel hair and uh-huh. a feather, like a MEPS spinner. So my fishing lures were starting to look like a MEPS spinner. And that caught on. Well, guys were contacting me through eBay and buying, you know, as I'm building this. I mean, I put one kit out that sells, but that buys two more kits and wow. starting to magnify. And I'm like, you know, these hooks, people are asking me, maybe I should just focus on making these dress treble hooks, and which we call now our furry hook business. And I got into, you know, the deer tails and just really studying this. Now, I want to really share this. I up until probably a few years ago, I didn't share this with anybody. But Ryan, I don't know how to fish, and I don't fish.
That's awesome. Why did you even, if normally people start with sell, if you're going to do building something, it's things that you kind of are interested in or know about. But how did you even pick the fishing niche?
Well, I say I don't fish and I uh-huh. don't know how to fish, but uh-huh. I fish with hook, bobber, and worm and sinker. Like I mean, every once in a while I'll fish something I made, but
okay.
I don't. So I picked it up because one, I knew that if I could find a product that was light uh-huh. to ship, had easy to make.
Yeah.
And had good volume of buying components, meaning if I could spend $20 and uh-huh. get 1,000 fishing blades,
uh-huh.
then I had a business that I could, wow. you know, pennies on the dollar, maximize my
growth. In a wheelchair?
Yeah. Yep.
Oh
yep.
my gosh.
Yeah. So fast forward, you know, I've gone back to working at different jobs and stuff, and I built this business.
Okay.
And still selling on eBay. And then it came to the point where like the treble hook furry hook market became saturated. I just like, yeah, you know, it isn't working out for me. So the Lord is what interceded in this. And he brought a fellow to me that said, hey, I like some of the hooks that you do. And you tie these things, these treble hooks really nice and neat and tight. Have you ever like thought about a saltwater market? Like I make these bucktail type lures, which are for saltwater. Now, again, I've never saltwater fished. I taught myself through the hook process how to tie flies. I never fly fished, but I learned to listen to a customer and let them tell me what they wanted. And then I just learned to perfect it, the muscle memory of it, the understanding of it, which ended up going into the e-commerce side of it, being that I'm trying to think of where I'm going to go with this, where I just learned eBay mm-hmm. is basically what it is. And that's where I had stuck in that niche. So yeah. like say, fast forward now to, was it 2011, okay. all that money, that business of the furry hook and this gentleman that showed me and shared with me mm-hmm. the money that's spent in the saltwater market had bought another component of our business. I mean, in our business is Village Tackle. So I switched from caught on lures to Village Tackle. Mm-hmm. And now we own live bait and fishing tackle vending machines. Mm-hmm. So, but, you know, I guess what I'm getting at is I always knew that if I found a product that was light, that I could ship and do mass production of it, that I needed to make it also another stream of income, which you teach in this podcast and what you teach yeah, on, you yeah. know, don't just put your money in that sole business, because like I'm at a point now where it seems like the market is saturated in the quote unquote furry hook business. Yeah. And I have to find a way to either get out of it and getting the teaching side of it mm-hmm. because I'm burned out. I mean, we're almost at 20 years. Right.
Yeah.
And I'm burned out in making them.
Uh-huh.
And I'm also finding that the materials have just quadrupled. I can't even say tripled.
So you're still doing this business, putting them together, and
I am. But I'm doing it on a smaller scale, and then I'm also, now my son's 17. Which we had a conversation before. I've employed him to design stuff in Fusion 360. So we have a micro mini 3D printing farm.
Okay.
So he makes these other components for me and I just put them together. So I'm bringing it into a different market that is unique to our business. So I'm branching off. And so now we're selling these little fishing heads that he 3D prints and we paint. And, you know, so I guess what I'm trying to get at is we're really dividing our skill and our product line and our SKUs to be more specific for us. Because what I had learned in this process of starting out with eBay is that everything flows and people will start jumping on. You know, so people will start, you know, if they're seeing that you're making, you know, enough, I mean, they will definitely
pick
it
up. They want a piece of it.
Yeah,
for sure.
So in all of that, get to where I'm at today. I do the fishing business, or we call it, you know, the fishy business, which would be the bait machines and so forth. But I went back to school back in 2008-ish, 2009-ish, and I got my undergrad degree. So in graphic design and in television, digital media production. But I was 32, 33-ish there, but I knew that I couldn't just, at that age, you can't just go work for $10 an hour in a local TV news studio. I mean, I couldn't, you know, I mean, and when you have a business that is making you just under six figures, why would I?
Oh my gosh.
So in that, and I also want to make sure that I preface this in saying that I fully have recovered, you know, like I'm a walking able person, you know, and stuff like that from this auto accident back in 2002. But I had really gotten into, back in when I was in my undergrad, being in the graphic design, got into doing, cutting like with a utility knife. I mean, because we had, in the 100 level and 200 level classes, we had like teach you the art of making this project and you're going to use an X-Acto knife. And I'm like, I have the first one, I had 70 hours on this, like 70 hours on this cut project with X-Acto knife. And I said, I have to find a better way. And so where I'm going with this, Ryan, is where I'm at today in the printables business that and brand that I'm building. So, but at that time I discovered a little machine. It's like the Cricut scrapbooking machine, but it was called the Craft Robo, which is today is called the Silhouette Cameo machine. And I learned to design files in Adobe Illustrator in my undergrad class, you know, and just learned Adobe Illustrator really, really well. And I teamed up with two ladies that taught me how to sell digital download products, and which was the files for these machines.
How long ago was this?
That was in 2010. I'm just going to say it was in 2010. Yeah, somewhere around there. And so I teamed up under them, and then they disbanded, split. And then the one lady that really gave me the knowledge that I had in designing files for the machines, she ended up passing away. So I always had that in the back of my mind. I'm like, digital download products, that's pretty easy, pretty gravy money. When you throw up a file and you're guaranteed to have like $100. And you're building this community, like, man, there's something to be said here. So I ebb and flowed in that, but because I had the fishy business and then I was working another full-time job and, you know, doing a family. And then now with the pandemic that had happened, I just told my wife, you know, we have to trust the Lord. We really do. We have to trust. We have to trust that you work full time, you take care of our insurance. We have multiple streams of income with the business, with the fishy business, as well as what that has produced for us and investment properties. So let me see if I can help show people this digital printable business and how you could add streams of income from something so simple as designing something on a piece of paper that you can sell over and over again.
Wow.
And so that's where I'm at. I mean, I call this my ministry.
Yes.
I feel that it's, you know, I've been blessed in many ways, and I would like to share that with other people. And really, one of the episodes that you had shared, I think it was your cousin,
uh-huh,
about how you you wrote it in your book, and I read your book. Yeah. So you had a phenomenal book. I mean, and I relate this printable idea and this digital download, digital product business is a stream. Like, I mean, imagine if you knew that, like I'm explaining now, then that you could teach her how to sell digital products.
Yes.
And then she would be able to have that stream income and still be able to serve a community that she's in. So that's where I'm at with it. And I'm very happy and blessed, like I said, to not only have the support of my wife, but and my son, but to other people that are willing to think of the idea of the possibilities of a digital product or of a printable. Mm-hmm. As I'm at now. So
yeah, we'll dive into that in a second. I want to ask something. We can edit this out if you want me to. I'm just curious, because you said something I wasn't sure about when you said about the accident. You said made her a widow, so it made it sound like you died.
No, I almost made her a widow.
Oh, you almost made her a widow. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought. Yeah. I was almost confused there. I was like, oh, what's going on there? He died and then came back to life.
Praise God. No. I almost did. I mean, it was
okay. Okay. And just because I know that probably other people are listening thinking, what's going on there? I missed the word almost.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Oh my gosh. I love your story. It's amazing. How long were you in a wheelchair?
5 months.
Wow. Yeah. Gosh.
Yep. And the insurance company said, take 3 years. I mean, you know, because I had full coverage and they're willing to cover all that stuff. I said, I'll be back to work in 8 months.
Let me ask you this. Do you think that we're going to dig into this printables, because this is one of the main reasons I wanted you on, because I think people are going to love this. But do you think that, would you have discovered the whole fishing thing had you not had that accident?
No.
Wow. Oh my
no, God. I wouldn't have pushed and learning e-commerce to the level that I
would have went back to your job and just,
Wow. Sucked it out, you know, 20, 30 years later, you know, working the 9 to 5 and
That was the original cable company that you were working for.
No, I was leaving there and then
okay. And you were coming back to another, I thought you said you didn't make it back the second time.
So my accident was on a Friday. I would start my first day back to my original job that I left.
Okay. Oh, the factory.
Yeah, the factory.
Got it.
That Thursday. And I never made it to my first day.
Okay.
Of my second time working there.
Wow. Oh my goodness.
So
incredible. God takes, you know, something that was disastrous, that was meant to harm you and essentially kill you, and turned it into something that was, you know, awesome, turned it into a blessing, from ashes to, I don't know, what's that saying? Beauty out of ashes, essentially.
Mm-hmm. So,
very cool. I love this. I mean, obviously Nick has an awesome story, and that's why I love having people's stories on there. I've not actually heard all of that before. And so it's fun to hear people's stories and just, you know, see what God does through it. But I want to dig into the printables, because you and Jenny just did a webinar a few nights ago, to her audience, and I promoted it too, and eager to dig into this. Tell me, what is a printable?
So you'll hear the words in terms of printable or printables, you know, being one, as well as with digital downloads.
Okay.
Well, it kind of gets tongue twisted. Uh-huh. And when I try to explain it, but a printable or printables is a product of a digital download.
Yep.
So if you were able to, and in fact, just before we did the webinar, Jenny and I did a webinar, I came up with the catchphrase, if I can digitize it, I can monetize it. And that was the mind shift and mindset that I had, but I just didn't have the words to say it back when I was going through my undergrad with the cut files and stuff that I'm digitizing stuff. I'm learning, you know, learning how to digitize it. And then I'm turning into a monetized product.
Like so a pattern.
Pattern. And then you apply it into printables, and it could be a sign-up sheet, you know, that you see. In fact, somebody at my son's school sent over a letter, and it was like, put emails here. You know, I'm like, that's a printable. Like,
yeah,
you know, it's a PDF. A PDF is a printable. I'm trying to think, a Word doc that you print, you know, is a printable. I mean, if you really look at it and dive into the words of printables, they're everywhere. We just, I don't think that we understand the potential of an item that has been uploaded digitally or digitized and then downloaded and then printed on our home computers or printers or, you know, commercial.
So is this like, you know, you've probably heard my friend Jason Miles, he's been on the podcast a couple times where his wife Cinnamon was, sounds like your fishing story, where she was making doll clothes for the American Girl dolls, selling them, making them and selling them one at a time. And then they had the idea, what if we sold the patterns instead of the product? And so the patterns, they digitized and sold them up on eBay, I think. Would that be an example of the patterns doll clothes?
Yep, exactly, exactly. And I would call those patterns as printable. I mean, they're patterns, but they're a digital download of a printable. Because you can print them. So, And Jason,
no inventory.
No inventory. I mean, and that's the thing about printables being a digital product. Inventory is measured in, what did I say, gigabytes and terabytes, not in cubic square feet or cubic square inches. You know, shipping is, I mean, what's shipping? An email, you know, a purchase, of the, you know.
So for that robo, that craft robo machine you were talking about, give me an example of what you might be talking about for people that are still like, I'm not quite sure I understand this.
I always just go back to the everybody seems to know the term Cricut, the Cricut machine.
Yeah,
the
Cricut machine, yes.
Yep, and that's what the craft robo is. It's just another brand. I mean, which like I said, now has become the silhouette. So you have the silhouette machines. Mm-hmm. And then you have the Cricut machines.
Okay.
I don't own a Cricut, but I always just refer to my silhouette just for easy understanding. A lot of people know the name Cricut, but it's a digital die cutting machine is basically what it is.
So it might be, give me an example of a product for those people who aren't crafters.
A product would be vinyl, like making a vinyl sign.
Okay.
That cuts out the vinyl. So a vinyl cutter.
Okay.
That would be an example. People that are in the scrapbooking community, they make cards.
Okay.
You know, like different, you know, they put different embellishments, but they may cut out, you know, that type of thing.
Okay.
And then one thing I've found is like, because I always struggle with school, like classroom billboard or bulletin boards. Mm-hmm. So you might see like all these different designs that are cut out and like, let's say a star, you know, it's cut out of cardstock. Well, that was either done, you know, commercially, or it could have been done by somebody that had a Cricut machine that would do it. So,
So if you have a Cricut machine, it's probably cheaper to print out your own things than going to a craft supply store and buying them already printed.
Correct. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Got it. Plus you can make your own and be creative with it.
Exactly.
Interesting.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. Exactly. So the questions then, I guess, give me some examples of all the, I know some of them that are, that you've shared in our insiders group that we have. And one in particular, I don't know if you want to go into the nursing example, that nursing student, but just what are some of the examples that you've seen, or maybe that you're selling that, just to get people's ideas churning in their head.
So going into the, like I said, printables and digital downloads, those are two terms I use together, because a printable is a product of a digital download. And this is going to be interesting. Because a lot of people, they're like, when I tell people, you know, my local friends, my circle of friends, my local people, that my grandma's recipe cards was my first digital printable product that wasn't, you know, like the that I sold, that wasn't the Cricut files. And so what I did was I scanned my grandma's handwritten recipe cards in.
Okay.
Digitized it.
Okay.
Turned it into a PDF. turn it into a PDF okay. as they were, food stains and everything. Okay. Uploaded it to Etsy in that particular, and then created a listing. It was 20 cents for that listing. Okay. So that was very inexpensive for 4 months. Okay. Now, think about that in terms of what you, people will spend and what I've spent personally, you know, as a business on eBay. I mean, that's pretty inexpensive.
Yeah, that's your listing fee, correct?
That's your listing fee.
Yep, 20 cents for 4 months.
For 4 months. And I believe it's 5% when it sells.
Okay, 5% commission to Etsy.
Yeah.
So make 95%. You sell something for $10, you're going to get back $9.50.
Yeah, roughly. Yep. Okay. Yep. Yep. Okay. So for a product that I didn't have to ship, so I'm not paying shipping. Okay. And so a person came along and bought my grandmother's handwritten recipe cards. And I'm like, this is crazy. How did this happen? Like, why would somebody do it? Well, again, getting into, you know, coming from the scrapbooking community and understanding that found objects are a value to somebody that's making a journal. I mean, there's the terms junk journal, ephemera, what's another one, boho journal, those type of things. I'm like, man, let's get more handwritten recipe cards.
So okay, why would somebody else who doesn't even know you, doesn't know your grandmother, care about her recipe cards?
Because they may either one, they are looking for that. This is just my opinion. They're looking for that authentic handwritten recipe that they may identify with in their project.
Got it.
Or they may identify with from their home that they may have lost, that type of thing.
Okay.
Or it's just a unique item.
Yeah. Are these full color scans?
Yeah, I mean they're literally just as they
if somebody would print them out on a color printer, probably, or I guess it could be black and white, but
yeah, on a color printer.
All right, how much did you sell those for?
So the first set was 100 cards, and I sell them for $3.99 for the download.
Yeah. Wow. Any idea of how many times you sold that one?
That one in particular, I'd sold that set about 118 times.
Okay. 118 times. Oh, I got to go over here because for some reason, my keyboard, it's funky. I'm sorry. Times $3.99, $470.82.
Yep.
After fees,
$447.28. And I tell you, I love my grandmother. She's passed, but I love her every day. When I saw one of those, I'm like,
wow,
you're putting money in my bank account, grandma. Thank you.
Okay. How did you know to start with that? I mean, I know literally it could be like, I'm going to try this and this and this and this, and maybe that's what you did. You're just going to try it and just test it, 'cause it's easy to do that. Did you know in advance that those were going to sell?
I didn't really, but I knew that by just going down the rabbit hole and looking up, you know, like recipe cards or, you know, like I said, in the scrapbooking community, different items. And I'm like, well, that person's doing it.
Okay. So you were just on Etsy, just looking around, and you saw other people selling recipe cards as digital downloads. So that gave you the idea to try it.
Yeah. Try it. I don't know what the market is as far as if it's saturated or not. Cause I truly feel that there's a total abundance. It's just a matter of figuring out how to position your keywords and being unique. So I don't know. I don't know if it would be saturated now or not. So yeah, I would definitely, you know, if you have some grandmother's recipe cards around, just try it. I mean, it's very inexpensive.
Yeah. So do you have a printer that scans them?
I upgraded. I mean, cause I, you know, obviously own a business and stuff. I upgraded to an Epson industrial scanner. Okay. I tell people it does like 500 scans a minute.
Okay.
So I could put a big stack of recipe cards, and I'm going to show you on the, you know, thing, like big stack of these, and I just put them in there. And I mean, this is actually,
it just feeds them through.
Just feeds them in. Yep. Feeds
them through. And so each recipe card is one page.
Yeah, that's correct.
Wonderful.
Yep.
Okay.
And then it scans the back of them.
Wow.
So I, you know, at times when I first started, I would have to go through and like take the backs out, you know, the color, the stains, that type of thing. Well, now I don't, I leave them in there.
That's awesome.
You know, and because I figure people, because people that are going to print these, they're going to figure out, well, I only want this one, and they can go on their printer settings and say, I want page 6.
Exactly.
You know, and I don't want the other, because it was time consuming of finding and figuring out which ones that at that time my grandmother had written on the backs of them, or maybe she got something from a church lady, you know, like when they do these recipe card swaps, you know, that type of thing. So I didn't want to get that mixed up. So I just leave them all in there. I mean, if they're blank on the back, that's great. If they're not, that's great. That's better.
Yeah.
But it just creates whatever I put in there, it'll create a string of PDFs. Okay. So it's one file of a PDF.
Wow. Okay. Give me more examples of things you've seen other people do, or that even some of the examples you might've shared on the webinar.
So knowing and researching with the handwritten, the keyword handwritten, I started going down this rabbit hole of just typing in handwritten printables.
And you're typing this in Etsy?
In Etsy. Okay. As well as in Pinterest. Okay. So I'm using Etsy and Pinterest combined.
Okay.
And there's arguments that Pinterest is a search engine, and there's arguments that it's not. I feel it is. It's a visual search engine. Mm-hmm. And so I happened to discover a lady that, as of now, it's been 9 months ago. So I think I followed it. It might be like 295 days. That's what we'll call it. So we'll say 9 months ago, 200. And I happened to look, and I'm like, her sales are like her sale number. Cause it'll tell you like how many sales that shop, that Etsy shop has had. It's huge. And I was like, what's up with this? And it was handwritten nursing notes. She was taking her notes from nursing school. She's scanning them. So she's digitizing them. She's creating a PDF, and you look in the listing, it says one PDF, and she's selling the PDF of her nursing notes, handwritten nursing notes. And when you do the numbers of her sales and you do an average, I average it out is about $15 per sale.
Okay.
And it goes up, her sales per day go up and down based on what the college, like between semesters. Mm-hmm. So in January, I think when I was sharing with you and Jenny and the insider group, the sales were higher per day.
Sure.
But that was in January when the first semester it was kicking off. Uh-huh. Whereas now they're kind of dropping. But she's still averaging like 116 sales a day
at $15.
At what I would say, it may be more, maybe less. I'm just going to be conservative and say at $15, that's like $1,700 a day.
Wow. On notes.
On handwritten nursing notes. Like,
oh my gosh. Why would somebody, you don't know this, I'm just curious, like if I'm going through a different nursing school, why would I care about her notes? Or all the programs kind of the same? Maybe
that would be a good question for somebody that's a nurse. I wish I could answer that. I would think that the general information, like I'm not well versed in like diabetic type of insulins and stuff. I know just looking at some of her listings, they were a general, like how to calculate insulin shots
So she didn't take all of her notes and put them into one listing. She's got them separated under different topics and makes $15, or some are 20, some are 10.
Yep. Some are 30, some are 50. Yeah. It's just mind blowing. And then the best part about it, Ryan, if you look at it, at her store, she only has 42 listed products.
Okay. And what's her, you added it up. What do you think it is now as far as her sales over the last 295 days?
It's probably around $500,000.
Pure profit. You just maybe subtract 5% from that for Etsy's fee. And wow. So that means she's making way more on Etsy than she is as a nurse.
Yeah. In 9 months, as of right now, as of 9 months, imagine as it carries on, you know, and
wow.
And that's just on Etsy. You don't know if she's selling on other platforms. You don't know if she has a website. I mean, you know, so that's just on Etsy.
Wow.
And it's just amazing.
That wouldn't work for me. My handwriting is horrendous. So
yeah, you know, mine is as well, but there's people out there that will write stuff for you. You just got to give them the information, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's true.
And then you get into the idea again, like I'm going to sound like a broken record in this. If you can digitize it, you can monetize it.
Mm.
You know? So if you, I was actually, this may be an offshoot of what I'm saying, but it's all in the idea of printables.
Yeah.
But that the handwritten recipe cards, as well as this RN that's selling her nursing notes, mm-hmm. had led me down to a path of like, now I'm collecting digital inventory.
Mm.
And you say that your handwriting's horrendous, but my wife, she chuckles at me sometimes when, like, say we were going out to eat and I see the server, they write, you know, they'll write sometimes in the check that they give you, you know, like, thank you. And it might be cute and doodly and fun. And I'm not opposed. And I do this like, hey, I love your handwriting. Do you mind writing maybe 10 times on a piece of paper, or a napkin or something? Like, I love you in different ways you do it. I mean, I love your handwriting, and it sounds weird and quirky. And then I'm up front. I'm like, I love it so much that I want to treasure it and I want to digitize it. And then I have like an unlimited source of digital inventory.
Okay, so yeah, go with me on an example. So let's say that server does that for you. She might think you're a little weird by doing that, but what do you do with that?
So then I digitize it.
Okay, so you scan it. Uh-huh.
Scan it. Yep. Okay. Scan it. Put it in the computer, clean up a little bit, create a clip art package.
It's on a napkin.
On a napkin. Yep.
Okay.
Create a clip art package, put in a PDF, put a PNG file, all the little files that maybe somebody may want, upload it in different platforms on Etsy or design bundles or, you know, these other marketplace platforms, and sell it.
How much would you sell something like that for?
It's funny. You say, I stick around the $3.99. It's the price of roughly the price of a Happy Meal. I base my pricing on my digital products on what it would cost to buy a meal for either me or my family. That's
what I do. Would you get that server's contact information and say, hey, I want to share the profits with you if it sells?
Yeah. I mean, if it sells, I mean, I'm going to go back and say, hey, more, you know, like, here you go, you know, like, yeah, you know, I'm going to eat there a lot. Right. And exactly. Say, hey, could you, you know, I haven't had it happen, but my wife and I, we've talked about like, what if you keep doing this? And they like, hey, Mr. Gomez, what would you like me to write today?
You know? I mean, seriously, if their handwriting is selling, you might as well, you know, start a partnership with them.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Okay. Give me more. This is, I can tell that people are like, oh my gosh, I can't even, this is amazing. Okay. More examples of things you've seen. I know. Okay. I'll ask you for more examples, but then would for somebody just to start down these rabbit holes, would they go onto Etsy and just literally type the word printable and see what comes up, or type in digital download and see all the options, and that'll start them down the rabbit trails?
That's exactly what I would suggest.
Okay. So what are some examples you're seeing? So people can go off after this episode and do that work. Imagine some of them are listening right now and starting to do this. But what are some of the other examples you've seen? You told me one about the church hymnals.
Yep, the church hymnals. So there is a one lady I found. She's from the UK, and she it's under the word ephemera.
How do you spell that?
I'm going to have to. I always butcher it. Ephemeral, or that's ephemeral.
R-A-L, so, ephemeral. What's that mean?
Lasting for a very short time.
Okay.
So let me actually get you. So
you could take that term and put that in Etsy?
Yeah, ephemera. So ephemera is E-P-H-E-M-E-R-A.
E-M-E-R-A. E-P-H-E-M-E-R-A. Guys, I'll have this in the show notes. This is...
Yep. And it's a noun. So I want to make sure that You know, it's the noun description, or the description is things that exist or are used or enjoyed for only a short time.
Okay. Guys, and this will be episode 86 at streamsofincomeradio.com. And so I'll have all these links in the show notes. Okay. So something only used for a short time, but so you're kind of preserving its memory by digitizing it.
Yep. Correct.
Okay.
Correct. Yep. And you know, it pertains a lot to the collectible side of it.
Okay.
Okay. So, but yeah, so that's how I feel, you're doing when you're digitizing.
Somebody takes an old church hymnal that, you know, there are maybe only 500 exists in the world right now. And so they literally tear out the pages and run it through a scanner like that.
Yeah. That's what I found at this lady in the UK and that's selling on Etsy. That's what she does. Okay. Now I'm not a copyright trademark lawyer. I'm not trained in that. I always tell people when they ask me about this, like, you do your research for you, mm-hmm. you know, do what you feel is comfortable. Don't just go on, you know, to churches and, sure. You know, or like book sales and just start tearing out pages.
Yeah.
I mean,
from my limited knowledge, I think anything before a certain date, like 1920 something, I'd have to look that up, is kind of in the public domain.
Yep. That's correct. That's correct.
And so which means that gives you the right to take anything that's pre that date and do whatever you want. You can like take, cause I know there are people like take the book Think and Grow Rich, for example, and add their own commentary to it. And it could be like Ryan Rieger's commentary on Think and Grow Rich. And that's okay to do because that book was written before that cutoff date.
I think as well, like I said, it's one of those things that, you know, just check. I do know that recipes, or I mean, you can't trademark them. I've done that research, unless it has like a brand name, like Crisco, mm-hmm. but Crisco or Butternut or, you know, Gold Meal, you know? Uh-huh. That's why I don't focus on the clippings from a newspaper or the back of a box. I just only do
that. Don't want to get in trouble.
You want to stay away from
that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But if somebody does their research, literally you can go into some old books and rip out pages. Maybe there's some cool maps in a book that you digitize. Yep. Wow.
Yeah. And then the printable side of it, I mean, you just mentioned, you know, about maps. Mm-hmm. People purchase those as like paper packs. You know, they purchase them to print on the printer as like a background paper or like an embellishment paper.
Wow.
You know, that type of thing. So yeah, I mean, maps would be, you know, a great printable. I mean, they're printable packs, so they're all over the place.
I'm going to start looking down that. I'm going down some of these rabbit holes because this excites me. Like I was talking to somebody, like for those of you that are listening, I know a lot of you are like Amazon sellers. Don't make this another shiny object where you may have some fun with this, but I think literally you could get somebody who's kind of creative, partner with them, kind of have them just expose them to this idea. And maybe you just partner with them and they do this work. I was going to see if I have a VA in the Philippines that would be creative and interested in this kind of idea. Might be different with them because they would be kind of limited to the things that they have access to there. Tell me about the course you and Jenny are doing a little bit, and then we'll wrap it up here in a second.
Yeah. So the course that Jenny and I are doing is 5 printables in 5 days.
Okay.
And is it okay if I give the website for it?
Yeah, I will just have you absolutely do that. And then I'll have a link in the show notes as well.
It's 5printablesin5days.com. Nice. So super easy. That's super easy. You know, so
the idea is for them to have to take action and actually have 5 printables done in that time period.
Yep. Yep. Love that's it. Correct. Yep.
Love it.
And in the course, I mean, we're going to provide templates. You know, there's going to be a private Facebook group, you know, where there's going to be some live video training as well as recorded, you know, over the shoulder of the process that I go through to create a printable. Okay. And Ryan, to really wrap it up, I've brought down, I've categorized 4 types of printables. There's the educational.
Okay. That would be like the nursing students.
Yeah. Or kids, you know, kids worksheets, that type of thing. And then there's the leisure entertainment, which would be like word searches, crossword puzzles. And then there's informational.
Okay.
Which would be I like an SOP, you know, a standard operating procedure
for a VA or something. Okay. Or
employee.
Okay.
And which is, you know, maybe there's somebody in their Amazon business that you know, had a good SOP that they wanted to share. Well, you can, that's digitized already. You can monetize that. You could sell that. Resume would be, you know, informational. So if you had a stellar resume that you just take all your personal information out of it and you create a template for somebody. I mean, we have people that are going to be looking for jobs and they're doing job changes and stuff.
Yes.
You know, so if you had a stellar resume that maybe you could help out and sell that as a digital download printable.
Yeah.
That would help out somebody. A word list for that job. Like,
wow.
There's certain jargon, certain words that are keywords for those type of job descriptions.
Mm.
You know, like nursing would be intensive care. You know, I wouldn't have thought that. So maybe there's different words that you think of that you could put into an informational worksheet. And then the other one is organizational.
Okay.
Which would be, I would call and classify that as like daily planners, calendars, to-do list, you know, if you can track it, measure it, that would be organizational.
Wow.
So.
Unbelievable. So in the course, you're going to show like how to, like what keywords to use or where to find those keywords, because literally this could be like, you could just, you know, throw the spaghetti on the wall method, but let's just see what sticks. And that could work. You're going to hit on some, but you probably have a method that shows you like a little bit of do a little bit of validation. So you have a better chance of these things selling. Correct.
Yep. That's correct. Yep. There's, in fact, I was making the video last night, a method that I use and, you know, a couple tools. I mean, you can use the same tools and processes that you do for Amazon, you know, in your keyword research, you know, in the suggested search. That's one way, which is cheap and free. Cheap and free. Yeah, that's all to say, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's free if you're doing it, but there's other Chrome extensions. So the one that I use is a Chrome extension, and I'll share that in the course.
Awesome. And the course, what's the price on that?
I believe that we had it at $67, and there's a coupon code to get it for $27.
Nice. Wow.
So, just
to get that to me offline, and I'll put it in the link in the show notes.
Yeah. Yeah.
$27, guys. That's a no brainer. This is fun. I love this. I'm definitely going to get that course. And because I think I have ideas. Probably not something I'm going to be doing a whole lot of, because I got to stay focused. I had an episode few episodes ago talking about shiny object syndrome. And there's just literally, Nick, you know, there's so many ways to make money online. It's unbelievable. It's so easy for somebody to listen to an episode like this and think, I'm just going to take all I'm done and kind of just scrap it for now and focus on this. You get into it a little bit and you just never build anything. You never get any momentum. It's better to focus on one thing, bolt it down. Then it doesn't mean you abandon it. You just, you kind of get it to a point where you feel like you can spend some time on this. So some of you maybe that are outsourcing your prep and ship, or get to a place where you can outsource your prep and ship, that you freeze up some time, then go into something like that, or get somebody else to go through this course. Yeah, don't make it another shiny object. It's easy to do, because this sounds amazing.
Yeah, super easy.
You might want to like just abandon everything you're working on to do this, because it sounds wow, no inventory. I can sell it. You know, it's like what we call Swiss dollars. It's sales while I sleep soundly. Literally, 3 a.m. somebody could be buying one of your recipe cards and, you know, $4 in your bank.
Yep.
Incredible.
Yep.
Man, anything else you want to say? Advice, wisdom for anybody out there?
Yeah, the advice that I always give, and this comes from my mentor in life, is just don't think of opportunities as, I mean, there's opportunities all around, and don't get stuck. Have an open ear. Like I mentioned about the fishing, our fishing business. I learned to listen to my customer. I learned to ask those questions and don't be afraid to ask it. And if you don't know, you don't know. I mean, in that case, so just always be open to ideas and look around. And I mean, cause opportunities are all over the place. In fact, I have come up with the acronym COINS, which is creative opportunities that increase net worth sustainability. So that's my coins. So I'm always thinking of creative opportunities that are going to, you know, increase my net worth and be sustainable. That's that's what it is. And I think that if you have that mindset and that mind shift of that, you will have a better fulfilled life. So
I love it, man. Thanks for being on, and congratulations on that course. I think that's going to do really well. People are going to love this because it's an out of the box type of thing. It's different, and your price is amazing. It's going to, I mean, you're going to sell a ton. But thanks for being on, Nick. I really appreciate this. It's been really, really fun.
Yeah, no, thank you. I really appreciate it.
You've been listening to Streams of Income with self-help author Ryan Rieger. From right here in the Dallas Metroplex, Ryan teaches several entrepreneurial courses and group coaching programs to students all over the world. Be sure to listen next week at the same time for Streams of Income with Ryan Rieger.